So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto entitled Creation, chapter number 13, Dhritarashtra quits home, and text number 49. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudire Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavatyottama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.49. Soyam Adya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Kalarupo Avatirno Asyam Abhavaya Suradvisham Soyamadya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Kalarupo Avatirno Asyam Abhavaya Suradvisham Soyamadya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Kalarupo Avatirno Asyam Abhavaya Suradvisham Soyamadya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Kalarupo Avatirno Asyam Abhavaya Suradvisham. Kalarupo Avatirno Asyam Abhavaya Suradvisham Soyamadya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Kalarupo Avatirno Asyam Abhavaya Suradvisham Soyamadya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Soyamadya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Kalarupo Avatirno Asyam Abhavaya Suradvisham. Maktajis. Soyamadi Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana. Abhavayasura Dvisha. Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana. Kalarupo Vatirnasyam. Sura Dvisham. Saha. That Supreme Lord. I am the Lord Shri Krishna. Adya. At present, Maharaja, O King, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhuta Bhavanaha, the Creator or the Father of everything created. Kala Rupaha, in the disguise of all devouring time. Avatirnaha, descended asyam upon the world, abhavaya, for eliminating suradvisham, those who are against the will of the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation: that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, in the guise of all devouring time, Kala Rupa, has now descended on earth to eliminate the envious from the world. Purport: there are two classes of human beings, namely the envious and the obedient. Since the Supreme Lord is one and the Father of all living beings, the envious living beings are also His sons, but they are known as the Asuras. But the living beings who are obedient to the Supreme Father are called Devatas or demigods, because they are not contaminated by the material conception of life. Not only are the Asuras envious of the Lord in even denying the existence of the Lord, but they are also envious of all other living beings. The predominance of Asuras in the world is occasionally rectified by the Lord when He eliminates them from the world and establishes a rule of Devatas like the Pandavas. His designation as Kala in disguise is significant. He is not at all dangerous, but He is the transcendental form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. For the devotees, His factual form is disclosed. And for the non-devotees, He appears like Kala Rupa, which is causal form. This causal form of the Lord is not at all pleasing to the Asuras, and therefore they think of the Lord as formless in order to feel secure that they will not be vanquished by the Lord. Om Adnana Timirandhasya Dnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsa Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. So in the purport it's very beautifully described. Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are two classes of men. The ones which are obedient and the ones which are not obedient. The ones which are obedient to God are called devatas, and the ones who like to create nuisance, they like to go against the will of the Supreme Father Krishna, they are called the asuras or demonic class of men. So two classes have been clearly identified. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions that how Krishna is like a loving father to both the classes. Then how come sometimes it appears that Krishna is taking the side of the devatas and he is rather helping the devatas, killing the asuras. Then how is God, how is Krishna impartial? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is supposed to be above the three modes of the material nature, he has no reason to be envious of anyone. But still, how come he is taking his weapon and he is attacking asuras? He is taking pleasure in killing the demons. Actually, this question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadev Goswami, the beginning of 7th canto, that is the beginning of Uti type of chapter from Srimad Bhagavatam. This Parikshit Maharaj asked the exact same question, that how it appears that Supreme Lord is partial, he should not be partial. How is it possible that he is acting just like a common man, having favor for someone, not having equal disposition, even though he is the father of everyone? So in today's society, we see that there are so many classes of men who deny the existence of God. There are so many learned scientists who say that God doesn't exist. There is such a huge class of atheistic people, and there are agnostics, new class. And there are different philosophies that are being propagated by the people who do not believe in the existence of God. So that is another completely different perspective of people who are not obedient, and at the same time they don't completely even consider that there is someone who is a creator. For example, that there was one beautiful incident. As we know, Sir Isaac Newton, he is the one who, he identified the law of gravity, and people say he invented. One time what happened, Newton had an atheistic friend who said that there is no creator. Everything happened by chance. There was a big bang and everything fall at its proper place. All of a sudden everything happened. So Newton had created a model of the entire solar system. The sun and all the planets are revolving around the sun in exact perfect orbit. And there are so many of the planets whose orbits coincide with each other. Like there is Pluto. When Pluto is revolving, his orbit coincides with two other planets. But still, in millions and millions of years, there has not been collision. That means everything is working in its perfect way. There has to be someone who has designed this beautiful solar system. So, when this atheistic friend of Newton came to visit him in his home, he saw this solar system. He saw the model that he had created, And then he asked, such amazing model that you created, who has created it? Newton said, actually, there was nobody created it. It just happened that I woke up in the morning and this model was existing and all the planets are revolving in their right, exact, perfect orbit. Every planet has its own, you know, different planets that they are also revolving around them. This atheistic friend said, come on, you know, get out of here. What are you saying? How is it possible that such intricate, complicated system and nobody is created? You are making fun of me. So Newton said that if this model, you are not able to accept that there is no creator for this, you know, replica of the solar system, how can you say that there is no creator for the actual, the big system that is being operated? For millions of years it is happening, the solar system is working perfectly. So there are people who do not understand this simple idea, very like the most basic idea, that there has to be someone who has created it. Now, further than that, there are so many classes of people who deliberately want to go against God. They want to declare that the God doesn't exist. Sometimes there was one scientist whose name was Frederick Dizzy. He said that God created. We accept there was a God who created. But then after creating such a big system, so many planets and such a complicated, so many species of life and all. So after creating so much, God became so tired that in 7 days he died. So there was one person like that, Frederick Nietzsche. So he said that God is dead. Undersigned, Frederick Nietzsche. But actually what happened is, after a few years, he was driving and he himself died in an accident. And then on his grave, the other people came and wrote, God is not dead. Nietzsche is dead. And undersigned, God. So God is saying, now you are dead. So God is beyond all these conceptions, all the material modes of the nature. The birth, death, old age and disease do not operate on Krishna. Actually, Krishna's body is Sachidananda Vikraha. The body is not from the material world, so it cannot be cut, it cannot have any problem as such. Even when Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, Srila Prabhupada mentions this very beautifully, that Krishna had a beaming smile while he was dancing on the serpent, such a vicious serpent, Kaliya, who was so poisonous. But still Krishna is smiling because he has no fear, nothing to... He is beyond. All the devotees are thinking that, oh, Krishna may be hurt, but Krishna is having beautiful smile. When Krishna was taken in the sky by Trinavartha, Krishna was happy. He was having a beautiful ride. He was having, you know, he was looking the aerial route. He was looking how my Vrindavan looks from above. He was happily enjoying the ride. And when he got bored, he just put his, you know, tiny hand around the demon and he started to choke him. And here the devotees are thinking, oh, maybe Krishna is in trouble. But Krishna does all these different acts. He performs leelas just to give the pleasure to the hearts of his devotees. He sometimes appears that he is struggling, or sometimes it appears that Krishna has gone in the inside the throat of Bakasura. And actually devotees, even Balram thought that Krishna dead? What happened now? Krishna has entered the mouth of the demon, such a huge baka. And then Krishna comes out victorious. He broke open the neck. He actually bifurcated the beak of Bakasura. So Krishna performs these activities just to give pleasure for the devotees. And there are always devotees and demons. The demonic class, those who deliberately want to disobey Krishna. Such asuras, even though they are also on the same platform, in one sense, as Krishna's children. Krishna is the Supreme Father, so even the demigods and demons, both the classes are supposed to be Krishna's children. They are, and Krishna has equal vision for both the classes. That's why Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshu stinna priyaha. But I have equal vision for everyone, no special love or no hatred, nasti dvesho na priyaha, no special favorite or no hatred for anyone. But Krishna also says, ye bhajanti apitmam bhaktya maite teshu chapi aham. The next line itself, Krishna appears to contradict himself. Krishna just said that I am equal to everyone, no love, no hate. But then he says, but the person who is completely surrendered unto me and who is performing my devotional service with all his heart, with bhakti, he is in me and I live in them. Like such a thick relationship Krishna is talking right after the next line. So it appears that Krishna, he is just contradicting. You just said that no love, no hate. Then how to understand this? The Srila Prabhupada mentions beautifully that just like a father may have many children and he loves all the children, but the child who is very obedient, he has no other interest than to give pleasure to the father. The child who always wants to serve the father and do what the father wants to do, that child, the father will have more trust. The father will favor that son the most because he is someone the father can trust. For example, father may give pocket money to everyone, all the sons, but the son who goes out and spends all the money in some beer bar, or he throws all the money on drugs, comes home, you know, drunk and in a crazy situation, the father is gonna stop his all the pocket money, all the allowances. But the other son who is using the money in the right cause, for, you know, pleasure of the father, the other son, actually father is going to give him the keys of his safe. The father is going to give him the keys of the car. The father is going to give him the keys to all his businesses, because that is the son that he trusts. So Srila Prabhupada mentions this, that the devotee who actually gains the trust of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for such devotees, Krishna gives a lot of different opulences. Krishna gives a lot of facilities, because Krishna knows that ultimately he is not going to misuse my trust. He is not going to misuse all the facilities that I am giving. It is also mentioned that Ripu Sutanam Apitulya Drishti. Krishna has equal vision to his enemies, the asuras, Ripu and Suta, his own son. So how is it possible that Krishna has equal vision to his own son and all the demons who try to attack him? He has equal vision. So just like, you know, Bhaumasur actually is son of Krishna. He's son of, when Vamandev came, you know, he was born that time. Vamandev and the Mother Earth. So Bhauma, in one sense, is Krishna's son. But then because Bhaumasur acted in a demoniac fashion, Krishna had to annihilate. Krishna had to take action and he had to kill Bhaumasur. And all the asuras that are killed by Krishna, we have to understand that Krishna may be appearing that externally he is killing the demons, but actually he is killing them, purifying them, and giving them the highest destination. That's the most important factor that we have to focus on. Because Krishna becomes very compassionate at times when he sees that someone is acting so sinful and there is no way that I can correct them. For example, when Lord Sri Ramachandra was here, Ravana abducted Mother Sita. That's such a grave, serious offense, but still Ramachandra wanted to give a chance to Ravana. He was actually sending so many messengers to Ravana and asking him that you should surrender. Actually, Lord Ramachandra did not want to kill Ravan because Ravan was also a devotee of Lord Shiva. So Lord Ramachandra gave constant opportunities to Ravana. He would send different people. But Ravan, he said, I'm not going to surrender. I'm going to kill Rama. So Krishna actually doesn't kill the demons all the time. When there is no option, when there is no other way of giving a chance, when there is no other way Krishna can do something good for that living entity in the demoniac body, then Krishna decides to purify the demon by killing. Because when Krishna kills a demon, the soul of that demon gets liberated. Just like in that assembly, when Krishna cut off the head of Shishupal, everybody in the assembly saw that the soul from the body of Shishupal, it came out and in front of everyone it entered the body of Krishna. So the demons, even though being killed by Krishna, they are getting the highest liberation. That's why the great devotee Uddhava prays that Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigham saya apayaya api asadvi lebhe gatim dhatri muchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. He mentions that who is more merciful than that person who gave the position of the mother to Putana. Putana came with the intention to kill Krishna, but Krishna is so merciful that he saw her, that okay, she is just like a lady coming as a mother, even though she was performing drama. But Krishna's heart is so compassionate that after killing Putana, he gave her the highest position in the spiritual world as assistant of Mother Yashoda, Dhatri. So Uddhava says, who is more merciful? Who can ever be more merciful than Krishna? So Krishna actually kills the demons because that is the only way he sees that they can be given the highest perfection. Krishna's way of giving mercy to different people is different. Like if a devotee comes and approaches Krishna, devotee may offer something and Krishna will give him a lot of blessings, mercy. But when a demon is not ready to surrender, then Krishna's way of giving mercy is apparently not so good looking. People think that how is Krishna killing? But Krishna is thinking that this person has performed so many sins in his life that if I don't kill him and he is not going to surrender unto me, that means he has to suffer for next millions of lifetimes just because of so many sins that he has committed. So let me at least liberate him. So that's Krishna's vision. And that's why Krishna takes action against the demons. Even though he has equal vision, even though he has completely equal equanimity for all his children, all the living entities who are just like his children, but still Krishna has to take partial position for the devotees, because devotees are constantly surrendered and devotees are completely in the hands of Krishna. And devotees are, because they are following all the regulative principles, they are obeying Krishna's rules or Krishna's laws, they become having all the good qualities. They have a lot of tolerance and they have all the humility. So sometimes because of these great qualities that devotees get acquainted with by the devotional service of Krishna, the other class of men, like the demons, they like to come and give trouble, like for no reason want to give trouble to the good class of men. For example, there was one very exalted poet, Bhartri Hari. He mentions that Mruga Meena Sajjananam Truna Jala Santosha Vihita Vruttinam Dhivara Pishuna Nishkarana Meva Vairino Jagati. He says very simple thing. He says Mruga Meena Sajjananam, like the deer. Mruga means a deer. The deer eats some little bit grass. The deer doesn't go and, you know, pinch a lion, right? Deers are not naughty like that, right? Deers live their simple life. They eat some grass. They live their simple way. You know, they don't create any disturbance to anyone. But still, the lion attacks, or a hunter comes and attacks the poor deer. Or mruga meena. Meena means the fish. The fishes, they are living in the water. You know, they are under the water. They have their own life going on. They don't really create disturbance for everyone. But still, fishermen come and they take them out and kill them. The same way, sajjananam. All the sajjan means all the godly people. They are internally happy. They are, you know, happy chanting the holy names of Krishna. They are performing devotional service. They don't want to create any disturbance to anyone as such. But still, the demoniac class of people, they get envious of the devotees. Because devotees naturally develop a type of luster on their body. Devotees look beautiful. Devotees walk beautifully. And devotees talk very beautifully. So the people who have envy in their heart, they are going to be very envious. So we see this in the lives of many, many great devotees, including Srila Prabhupada. He had to go so many different times. We see that Srila Prabhupada also was not treated properly by other people. The people who naturally become envious of the devotees. So, the Bhartru Hari mentions that ultimately in this world, to attract enemies is not something you have to endeavor for. It's very easy to get enemies in the world. Even though you may say that I am following all the rules, regulations, I am doing everything that is needed, but still someone else will decide to be inimical. So that's why the devotees of Krishna, they constantly depend on Krishna. Krishna knows that this person has no other shelter. So if someone is trying to harass a devotee, then Krishna decides that, okay, I am going to take charge. Now I have to protect my devotee. Just like what happened with Prahlad. Now Prahlad was only 5 years old. He was completely dependent on the mother and the father. He did not make any mistake. He was the most obedient child. He was the most obedient child one can ever have. But still, the father, Hiranyakashipu, he became so envious of this little 5 year old that he wanted to kill him. And what was the crime? What was the fault of Prahlad? The only fault was he wanted to love Lord Narayan. He wanted to completely surrender and take the holy names of Krishna. So that's why Srila Prabhupada mentions in many, many of his purports that because a devotee is completely surrendered unto Krishna, Krishna feels that I must take charge of this person. I must protect him. Krishna feels that this is my duty. Sridhar Swami, one of the great acharyas in our line of Vaishnava tradition, Sridhar Swami wrote a beautiful poem that he mentions that a devotee who is serving Lord Shri Krishna, the devotee who is taking the holy names of Lord Shri Krishna with complete sincerity, without ulterior motives, even once if someone takes the holy name of Krishna, the devotee may forget later. But Krishna will not forget. Krishna will think that this person has taken holy name so sincerely, you know, that day in New Dwarka temple, he had come, I remember, and he completely surrendered. And he was actually talking to me, and he surrendered unto me. I remember every word he said, and I remember the way helplessly he chanted my holy name. So right now this person is acting crazy somewhere in the other part of the world. After many years, Krishna will still send someone for that one person. So Sridhar Swami says, Madiyoyam. Krishna has this attitude that this person is mine. Madiyoyam. Maya sarvato rakshaniyaha iti vishnor mati bhavati. The devotee who has performed devotional service unto his spiritual master, the devotee who has performed unmotivated devotional service to Lord Shri Krishna, Krishna feels that he is mine, he is my property, and he is my responsibility, and he is completely protected by me, because otherwise, who is going to take charge of this person? That's why Sridhar Swami says, Madiyoyam, and Maya Sarvato Rakshaniyaha iti, whose mati? It is iti Vishnor mati bhavati. Lord Vishnu thinks like this, that he is mine and I have to protect him. So this we see in many, many different scenarios. When Krishna performs the pastimes, we see that when Lord Ramachandra finally was victorious, he killed Ravana, and he finally he was about to reunite with his wife, Mother Sita. And Mother Sita was supposed to be brought in a palanquin. So all the soldiers, now Lanka, Ravan was killed. So Bibhishan became in charge. The brother of Ravana, Bibhishan, was the in charge of Lanka at that time. And the Mother Sita was supposed to be brought. So Valmiki Ramayana says, that time all the monkeys of Lord Sri Ramachandra, they were so curious that who is this Mother Sita? We have been hearing about her all our life. We fought for her. We laid our lives for Mother Sita. And we have heard she is the most beautiful. And she is the Vatsalyadi Guda Ujvalam Bhagavati Vande Jagan Mataram. She has the motherly affection for everyone. She is the most merciful. So they all, the monkeys they were trying to create a lot of disturbance, because it happens when a celebrity comes, many people want to see the celebrity or take a picture so they were creating disturbance, and they are monkeys, they are not organized. So because of being monkeys, they were pushing each other, or sometimes some people were falling. So Bibhishan actually ordered his soldiers to correct them. So some of the soldiers started beating these monkeys. And that time, Lord Sri Ramachandra shouted at Bibhishan. Hey Bibhishan, you cannot do this. You cannot touch my soldiers. So actually Bibhishan is also a devotee. And Ramanujacharya mentions about this incident from Valmiki Ramayana that Lord Ramachandra actually told Bibhishan that back off, they are mine. They have laid their lives for me. like they have fought for me. So at this moment, I owe them everything. I owe my life to them. Don't touch them. And this we see even in the life of the great devotees. For example, Srila Prabhupada, when one time he was in a Kumbh Mela. And in Kumbh Mela, there were, you know, the Kumbh Mela is a place where all type of people come. Many, many mystical yogis come, people from Himalaya come. So there was one yogi, and who used to tell everyone, "Hey, you chant, hey Kapali. You chant, hey Kapali." And everyone used to be like scared, "Hey Kapali, hey Kapali." Everyone used to chant whatever he said. He would pick anyone, "You chant, hey Kapali." And they were like, "Hey Kapali." So our devotees were there, and Prabhupada's disciples, and they came across this yogi, "Hey Kapali, Tantric." And he said, "Hey, you chant, hey Kapali." And then they said, "Hey Kapali. What Hare Kapali? We chant Hare Krishna, right?" So they didn't really give any heed to that person. So he became very offended. And he actually chanted some mantra and he said, "Hey Kapali." And then one of the disciples got crippled. And the other one ran to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was told all this. Prabhupada was told that this is what has happened. There is some Hare Kapali guy who has crippled one of our devotees. So Srila Prabhupada said, "Bring that Hare Kapali Tantric." So devotees brought the Hare Kapali Tantric. And then this was nice to Prabhupada, this Hare Kapali Tantric. He said, "Swamiji, what can I do? You know, they made fun of me. So I had to give them some little bit punishment." So Prabhupada heard. So Prabhupada, there were some flowers, the Maha flowers. Prabhupada took some flowers and he just threw at him. And when the flowers went in his direction, this Hare Kapali Tantric, he became crippled. He was having problems. And all the devotees saw, wow, Srila Prabhupada has so much power. And Srila Prabhupada said, "How dare he touch my disciple?" So that is also Prabhupada's mercy. That, okay, these devotees have served me. They are serving me. They are mine. And I am supposed to protect them. So that is also Prabhupada's mood that we see. Then the disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, "What is going to happen to him?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Don't worry, he'll be fine very soon. So in a few hours he'll be fine." But we see that whoever surrenders to Lord Shri Krishna, whoever surrenders and performs devotional service to Lord Shri Krishna, the devotee may forget, but Krishna never forgets. And that is the glory of Lord Shri Krishna. He has special love for his devotees. Krishna, even though he is impartial, but still he is inconceivably partial to his devotees. And that's why it is said Krishna is impartially partial to his devotees. That's why he is called Bhakta Vatsal Bhagavan. Shri Krishna ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments?
Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. Was Kali a devotee in a different life? Because he was like one of the only demons I've read about who surrendered to Krishna. And then was Kaliya, like the snake Kaliya, was he a devotee in a previous life? Because he's one of the only demons I've read about that surrendered to Krishna and got pardoned.
So. Yeah. For Kaliya, that he was not killed by Krishna because he surrendered. Actually, Kaliya has a backstory. Actually, it's in Bhagavatam also. When Saubari Muni was performing the pastimes underwater, that time the Yamuna water was getting completely poisoned because there was the time when Saubari Muni was there, the fishes were being eaten by Garuda. So he asked Garuda not to come here because fishes are mine. So he applied the same principle, they are mine, but in a different way. And actually he cursed Garuda that you cannot come here. If you come here again, then you will die. So Garuda did not go. But because Garuda cannot go there, Kaliya went in Yamunas. And actually all the fishes died. And even the birds were dropping dead in the poisonous water of Yamuna. So that's how Kaliya entered there. Our acharyas explain that the one good thing about Kaliya, why he received so much mercy from Krishna. Actually Krishna gave him a thumbprint. Actually Krishna gave him his lotus feet print on his head. So actually that became a permanent tattoo. Krishna personally tattooed someone. That was Kaliya. That was his lotus feet prints were there on his hoods. Why so much mercy? Actually, that is a good question. Even many acharyas have asked this, like, how is it possible that Krishna became so merciful to a demon like Kaliya? And then the answer is that even though Kaliya was a rascal, he was like completely bad, but still he had a connection with pure devotees. And who were they? His wives. His wives are Nagapatnis. Those, because of them, actually Krishna thought that if I kill Kaliya, then I am making my own devotees widows. How can I make my own devotees widows? So it's better, even though he's rascal, let me give him some mercy. But Krishna did not just give him mercy, Krishna actually gave him abhay. Because Kaliya said that, oh Krishna, you are sparing my life. But as soon as I go from here, Garuda is going to attack me. Because actually that is a past story. That Garuda and Kaliya, they are enemies. So he said that you are going to spare me. But as soon as I leave, Garuda is going to attack me. But then Krishna says, do not worry. I give you abhay. Completely fearlessness, because I have tattooed you. I have put my lotus feet prints on your hoods, because of which when Garuda would fly up in the sky, he would see those lotus feet prints on your head, he would actually bow down to you. Like now you and Kaliya are like brothers. The enemies became brothers because of Krishna's intervention. Just like sometimes two people may not like each other, they come to the temple, sometimes they get initiated by the same spiritual master, they become brothers. Even though, you know, there was big animosity in the past, it happens. Now they are brothers because they have been initiated by the same father. And then what happens when they somehow come across each other? They have to bow down. You know, they have to chant, Vancha kalpataru bhasya kripa sindhu deva cha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namah. So they have to bow down. So that's the Krishna's intervention, that Krishna makes everyone happy in this way. Anyone else has any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sebastian Prabhu ki. Plate number 42. Amy Krishna and Srila Prabhupada.